evening. We give everyone a warm welcome in the name of the Lord, and it's a wee bit different, but I think it's good. How many's happy? Praise God. A few. Well, praise God. I trust the Lord will make you glad. If you're not glad, praise God. It's really good to hear young Stevens going on the mission field. I think that's really tremendous, and we just trust, as a brother's prayed, God will give him souls and fruit for the labour. Amen. It's great to hear. Praise God. And I heard testimonies years ago from brothers that went into them areas, and there's souls to be reached still. We're at the end, and we want to try and get the last one, wherever that may be, and then we're going to go. Praise God. Let's turn to the book of Daniel again, verse 36 and 38. And the Lord bless each and every one tonight. Praise God. Verse 36 then of Daniel chapter 2. This is a dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power and strength and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, the fowls of heaven, have he given into thine hand, and have made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. Let's just bow our heads. And you have a request again, just raise your hand up to the Lord. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you this evening that we can gather together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we know that we have an access tonight from thy footstool into thy throne room and presence through the rent veil. Lord, we've come this evening earnestly praying for thy help and for thy spirit to move amongst us this evening. We would ask especially for the hands that's raised tonight, that thou would indeed meet every need in Jesus' precious name. Lord, we do say amen to what's been prayed. We ask for Brother Timothy again, that thou would touch your Brother Timothy from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. Pray for my dad also, you'll touch him and strengthen him and bring him to full strength in Jesus Christ's name. Pray also for this time for Billy Patterson, that you'll strengthen him and you'll make him whole and make him well in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask for your word tonight, that you'll speak to us from thy word. And Lord, I take the promised Holy Ghost to help me. And I thank you to do it, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Maybe, brother, you can put the image up. Praise God. I'm sure when King Nebuchadnezzar, he had this dream, and I'm sure he was in shock when he had this dream and he saw this image. And then I'm sure he was astounded at the accuracy of Daniel's words. When Daniel began to describe this vision, and you know, God showed Daniel in a night vision the whole thing. And I think that's remarkable that God could do that. Not only did he give him the interpretation, but he showed him everything. He showed him the dream, and he told him what it meant. And I think that's wonderful. So Daniel, no doubt, had the king's attention. You think of it, you would have somebody's attention if you could tell them what they dreamed last night, if they did dream. And Daniel definitely had the king's attention when he told him what he had dreamed, and he gave the interpretation of each element of the dream. And I'm going to go through these elements, this dream, and the dates I have. There's most of the writers are fairly accurate on the same on the dates of these dreams. Now, as I go through this, I want to say that you have to see these different things as empires and powers that started right down, and this head of gold being Nebuchadnezzar himself. The head of gold represents the Babylonian Empire, which ruled 1612 to 539 BCE. Nebuchadnezzar was addressed here in our Bible as a king of kings, a position made clear as a gift from God. So God choose this man, even though he was a heathen. And that's hard to take in, but God done it anyhow. God chose him. And God gave him this dream, and this is what he's named. And Nebuchadnezzar was actually a supreme monarch who was above all the kings in his generation. Now you keep your finger in your Bible in Daniel, but I want to read you Ezekiel 26 verse 7. And in Ezekiel 26 verse 7, I want you to see the title that he gives Nebuchadnezzar. For thus said, and I better check the clock because I won't keep you long, even though we're started early, I'm not going to go on long because there's no point then starting early. That'll be 40 minutes again. I think that's enough. And at the most, and then we'll stop, praise God. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will bring upon Tyrus, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, a king of kings, from the north with his horses and with chariots and with horsemen and companions and with much people. So we see that this name was given to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of kings. Nebuchadnezzar was in supreme authority insofar as any human ruler could be. He was the head. The king was the head of gold as a personification and symbol of the Babylonian Empire. So Nebuchadnezzar was this head of gold, symbolized as this head of gold. And remember, these are not my words, these are Daniel's words. So Daniel is showing that Nebuchadnezzar, in fact, himself, is this head of gold. I'm sure he was shocked when Daniel told him this. Now, as we go into this and you see the colours, I want to make plain from the start that gold is a superior colour. How many understands that? Then after that, it's coming weaker and weaker and weaker right down to the end time at its weakest. So that this empire is the strongest, but hereafter it's going to get weaker and weaker right down to the end. Now, the second colour here, the silver, the breast crossed arms of silver is the Median Persian Empire, which would succeed Babylon in 538 to 332 BCE. In Daniel 2, verse 39, and after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. So these kingdoms were to rule, and they were coming in succession after Nebuchadnezzar, they were going to come. The second empire, Media Persian, is pointed out by Daniel in the account of the fall of Babylon. In the words in Daniel 5, verse 30 to 31. And that night was Belteshazzar, the king of Chaldeans, slain. And Darius, the king of Media, took the kingdom, being about 80 years old. So he tells where he was cut off and where another raised up to continue this empire rule. It also pointed out in the vision of the ram and the he-goat in Daniel 8, verse 20 to 21. The ram which I saw is having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia. And the rough goat is the king of Greece. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. So here these are explained by Daniel to this king. Were the two horns of the ram that correspond to the two arms of the image are called the kings of Media and Persia. Thus we see that while the Babylonian Empire was single-headed, the Median Persian Empire was a dual empire, presented by two arms of the image and the two horns of the ram. The left arm of the image representing Media the weaker, and the right arm Persia the stronger kingdom. The fact that the Media Persian Empire is represented by the silver of the image indicates that as silver is inferior to gold, so the Median Empire was inferior to the Babylonian Empire. This we know was true not in extent, for Cyprus conquered more territory, but in wealth, luxury, and magnificence, Cyprus has the honor of being named in Scripture 175 years before he took Babylon, God named him. 175 years before. In Isaiah 44, verse 28, that saith of Cyprus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt build on to the temple, thy foundation shall be laid. So God knew this man was going to be in place God knew all these kingdoms were going to be in place, and God, through Daniel as prophet, foretells all these things. Now, I'm not going to run ahead of myself, but you're going to see the night right to this present time. And if you can really see Scripture right, the time of the Gentiles, we're at the end of it. We're actually at the end of it. The time of the Gentiles is at the end. God is going to turn back to the Jews. The coming of the Lord's at hand. It's really something when you study this. This is the really important thing I want to try and bring out tonight. But I just want to show you these here things if I can as well. Isaiah 45 verse 1 to 5. Listen to this. Thus saith the Lord, till his anointed to Cyprus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of the kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. And I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass, and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of the secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. So God, even to this next king, is saying similar things as what Daniel said to King Nebuchadnezzar. He's letting them know, I'm God. I'm the one in power. I'm the God that's placed you where you are. I'm the one that's done it. So all these affairs, people worry so much about things in the world today and people in government and all that. God's done it. God permits these things. God is ultimately in control, and he's not part in control. He's in full control. And everything's to bring about his good pleasure and his good will. And we just thank the Lord for that. Verse 4 says of this in Isaiah 45, for Jacob my servant, Jacob, for Israel mine elect, I have called thee by thy name, I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me, I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. And King Nebuchadnezzar didn't know God. And there's no way you could say, well, he was a real believer and he knew God. You can't say that. This man was a heathen worshipper. But God still chose him. And God used him. And God's telling this man the same thing. You don't know me, but I know you. I'm in charge. Isn't that great? That even those that think they're working bad, God knows all about it. God's in full control. Now this third part here, the brass, the belly, the thighs, the brass represent the Greeks, which followed the Median Persian rule, 332 to 63 BCE. This third empire, the Grecian, is in identifying scripture by the angel Gabriel as the he-goat that destroyed the ram, which represented the Median Persian Empire. Daniel 8, verse 20 to 21, the ram which I saw having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Again, brass is inferior to silver. The Grecian Empire as a worldwide empire with Alexander, as it said, was a short duration. After 8 short years, he died of a marsh fever, they say. And about BC 323, in his 33rd year, and his empire was divided among 4 of his generals. So this empire didn't last long, so it's getting weaker. From this head, as we come down, it's getting weaker and weaker and weaker all the time, right down to the end time. Now the legs here of iron depict the Roman Empire, which ruled 63 BCE to 476 CE. The feet and the toes of iron and clay foreshadow the revived Roman Empire of the end days. So right down to these feet and right into these toes, some people take these toes as the EU. And they go into it and they say lots of things about the EU, but the problem is they miss out Rome. And I'm not for missing Rome, I can guarantee you that. It's the one that the prophet of God warned us time and time again not to miss out. So don't go for the decoy. Now I believe EU is part of all this. I believe it's ruled by Rome. And I believe you can see the power of the EU And that, how they brought in laws here and rules, doesn't it show they're ruling? They're in power. So there's truth in that they're in the temples. There's truth in that. I'm not saying the writers are wrong. There's truth in that. But the ultimate power behind it is still Rome. And Rome today is involved in everything all over the world. And you know Rome can stop wars. Just one phone call from the Vatican can stop a war. How many knows that? That's a fact. That's not just talk. That's a fact. And you know the president in America was on the phone to the Pope during one of the wars. How many knows that's the truth? History proves that. Now I was going to bring another book tonight by Man Hunt and read you a bit into Rome, but I wasn't sure if I would have adequate time or not to do that. And I didn't want to read you maybe too much, because it's all a lot to take in, isn't it? It's a lot of stuff to take all this in. And you think of it, just for a few things here to say, hours of studying just to get a few thoughts, and you say it in a few minutes. And you can spend hours, a day, just studying and reading. And you see, the thing is, one thing I want to say, brother, tonight is, we are living in the last days when we believe, as a fellowship, that God did send Elijah the prophet. And we believe, according to the Bible, that all the mysteries are to be finished. So there's men that guessed at these things. But now at the end time, these things are not to be guessed at. And in the book of Daniel, it tells clearly this is to be sealed up until the end time. And at the time of the end, it's to be made known. And I believe we're living in the end days. We are absolutely living in the end days. And this is a time where Rome was to come into force. Pagan Rome, Papa Rome, I'll read you a few quotations about it here now. And hopefully you'll see what I'm talking about. We'll talk a bit more about these legs of iron to pick the Roman Empire, which ruled right down into the toes. The Holy Roman Empire, revived. Now, let me read you this from the Mark of the Beast. The cry here, who can make war with her? That's Rome. There's one man in the world, only one man in the world, of all the world, has power as King Nebuchadnezzar's vision was. Them 10 toes runs out into everywhere. That's the streak of Roman iron. Runs out in every nation in the world. There's not another man in the world's got the say-so like the Pope of Rome has. Now when he says they run out, it means it runs. This, which is in the legs, runs right down into the toes. It still keeps going. And Rome, that had the power right back, has still power. Now where do you think the EU got its power from? You don't only have to look who holds for it. And you know what background they're from. And that should answer a lot of things just with that. There's truth in it all, you know. Yes, I really believe that. And you know, a brother John's a farmer, and he could tell you better than me. But when all this came in, and they brought in all these things, quotas. Now that's ruining. That's taking your rights away. They're going to tell you what you're doing. And then you're fined if you don't do it. That's what they did. Now that's all part of this, these 10 toes. It's coming right down here at the end time. Now look, he says there's not another man in the world like the Pope, President, Eisenhower, can speak in the United States. Now this is back then. And it's law, but there is another nation he could speak in, and it's nothing. But the Catholic hierarchy can speak in Rome, and every nation will holler to it. That's right. There he is. Now we're going to see where he's at, and see if that's him or not. See if he's pictured here, right here at all. Now you know, if you get a book, it's hard to get, but I've got it. It's Iro Manhattan. It's called The Vatican's Billions. If you study that book and read that book, if you ever got your hands on it, you will know that the Jesuit priests bought up buildings in America years ago. Their buildings today are worth billions of pounds. And the book's actually entitled The Vatican's Billions.
And Rome has a wealth today in the world.
Mark is bankrupt, but the Vatican's not. The Vatican says, and the Pope says, he is a successor of Peter.
Or Paul, that's what he's, Peter. Now we know Paul was a messenger, but he picks Peter. And they say Peter was never even in Rome.
He says he's a successor of Peter, but there's one thing about Peter different from the Pope.
Peter was able to say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk.
The Pope can't say that. There's actually a live video found recently, for the Pope himself admits
he's deceiving thousands. He admits it openly.
Didn't he come out and he said, don't come to Jesus, come to me.
Therefore he's absolutely putting himself in place of the Lord Jesus Christ as a world power. He's put himself above the Lord.
I tell you, it's terrible. And I feel sorry. I have many Catholic friends and it's a real shame that they are so deceived with a false system, an antichrist system. And it's all across the world today. The mark of the beast. All right then, in the ages, when the beast of Revelation 13 and 3 that was wounded to death, that was pagan Roman Empire, came back to life and power as the Holy Roman Empire. Rome as a material nation had suffered much depletion and soon would suffer it completely. But it mattered not now, for her religious empire would keep her on top of the world government, governing from the inside, where she would now appear to do from the outside.
So she looked as if her power was gone, but she's working all the time from the inside. And if you only know the half of it, what's working from the inside would scare you.
The Jesuit priest that has infiltrated
almost every Protestant church there is under the world today. Magic churches and all. And I know what I'm talking about. But God let me see a preview of a priest in a church. And I believe it with all my heart. Nobody will change me from it. And then when he preached, I knew it was him. I knew what he preached.
Why? Because he destroyed the deity of Jesus Christ.
And any man that will destroy the deity of Jesus Christ is absolutely a false prophet. I don't care where he comes from.
Our job as preachers, as Christians, is to lift up the name of Jesus Christ and to glorify the Lord God Almighty, not to bring him down.
And any religion or preaching that brings down the name of the Lord, when the Bible clearly says there's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, in the name of Jesus Christ, I tell you, it's false.
And I met a man, I had the privilege to meet a man when it was with John McFadden, and his friend was a personal friend of Roberto Riviero.
And Roberto Riviero said the only man the Roman Catholic Church fear today is Reverend William Morian Branham, because he knows who they are. They're not afraid of none of the rest of them. They're all preaching stuff, but they're afraid to mention Rome. But he knew who Rome was. God showed him.
And we had a man in this country too that knew who Rome was, didn't we?
Yes.
We had a man who knew who they were. And he preached it, well. And I have some of his old books as well, secret books, we call them now. They didn't show any of them on them interviews the other week when they'd done their television programs about it. Sure they did. It's all infiltrated. See, the programs, don't believe the half of it. It's all put in a way to paint a picture that they want painted. It's not really the real picture. But we have a picture in this book that's real. The Word of God's the absolute. Now, from what we looked at, we saw the first empire was united, the second dual, the third became quadruple, and the fourth, in its final form, will be ten-toed. We can see the Rome still behind the scenes, influencing everything today, the EU and all, behind everything. Rome is absolutely behind everything. And we know that to be a fact today. And what about the ecumenical movement that's spreading the world today? And so many people that claim to be in Christ, but they will not come out of the systems they're in. Now I'm talking about systems that's absolutely false. I'm not talking about genuine Christians.
I'm talking about those that claim to be in Jesus, but yet ago they prayed to the Virgin Mary. I should have brought that book tonight and read it. It's called, entitled, The Woman That Rides a Beast. How many's ever heard of a manhunt? You want to see the things in there. You know, they actually believe Mary is superior to God. They pray to Mary, they do everything to Mary, and they actually say she's the mother of God. God never had a mother. Never. And Mary is never once mentioned in the Bible as a mother of God. And never once in all the scripture does anyone ever pray to Mary. Never once. But thousands and millions today are praying to the Virgin Mary. But who taught them to do it? A system did. An organization did. And I tell you, anything that points you even to the prophet or a great man above Jesus Christ, you be careful. For it's not God. The true prophets of God, down through the seven church ages, absolutely pointed to Jesus Christ. And William Branham said, do not look to me, look to Jesus Christ. That's the one appointed to tell.
Amen.
Thank God for that.
Amen.
Ancient Roman power to subdue all opposition. We know that our brother Matthew's read a lot about ancient Rome, and these legs speak of this Roman strength. The strength is in the legs. And this strength gets weaker and weaker, but it still goes right down to the very toes. It's all mixed up. Right down to the very end. The Roman legions were noted for their ability to crush all resistance with all iron and with an iron heel. Daniel gives more detail on the feet and image, so it must be important. More detail on the feet than almost anything else that Daniel gives. Running right down to the end. Now Daniel, in the second chapter, in the 34th and 35th verse, he watched this image with great consideration, and he watched it until a stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and it rolled down and smote the image in the feet and brake that. Now it never hit it on the head, now it hit it in the feet. That was the end time, now the 10 toes, right now. And we are living in the last of the last days, where there's a stone united without hands, and it's going to break every single image there is. And it's going to hit this on the feet. What happens when you hit it on the feet? It falls. Now, you fellas that watch rugby, you don't tackle a man on the head. You tackle him low. And it no matter how big he is, if you hit him about the knees or below it, he just goes straight down. That's how you hit him down. Amen. Now you think of this stone that's hewn out. This is Christ. And this is coming. And it's coming at the end of the Gentile dispensation. We're going to be raptured away. Home to be with the Lord. And God's going to turn to them Jews. He hasn't forgot the Jews, you know. God has ever marred the backslider. And the casting off of Israel was the bringing in of us Gentiles. If we have time, and have about 15 more minutes or so. I know it's hard to believe. The time goes, doesn't it? I'll try and read the scriptures for it. Now I want you to notice this from the Daniel 70th week. If anybody's got that, you read it. It's not really dealing so much with this chapter 2. It's later on, but there is things in it. Notice exactly here, just before Eisenhower went out, the last protestant of America in the president, which I doubt there'll ever be another one, but just the people would wake up when he met there. The last meeting he met with Russia, there was five Eastern communistic countries represented, five Western, there's 10 toes. Five Eastern and five Western represented. Khrushchev was the head of the Eastern countries, Mr. Eisenhower was the head of the Western countries, and Khrushchev, if I understand, I've been told that in Russian language, Khrushchev means clay, and Eisenhower means iron and clay. So there's your two men right at the end time, right down to your toes. Now listen to what he said in English. There is your iron and clay will not mix. They won't mix together. They tried to come together, but they wouldn't mix. No. This Brexit have tried everything, but it never mixed either. Is that right?
Yes.
Here is the Bible. believe it for one second. And Rome says she repented of the 68 million on her own martyrology. She repented of it, but I don't believe it. Who do you believe it? I definitely don't. She'd do it all again in the morning. Look, the men of God through history were slain and burned to the stake. Men like William Tyndale, another great man, Wycliffe, many other men. They destroyed them, but they were real men of God and had the word of God, and Rome destroyed them. That's shown her power. But God's not going to have it. God's going to deal with it all at the end time, and he's going to smash all these kingdoms of this world and destroy them, and they'll be like the chaff of the summer threshing floor. Praise God. Look what he says about he done. And he pulled off a shoe and beat the stand with it and everything else, and it won't mix. And you can read that further in Daniel 70 weeks, and it's great stuff. Now, we will get into that later in the series, if the Lord wills and the Lord's permit. You just pray for us, God, help us with all these things. Now, Daniel chapter 2, verse 41 to 43. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with the clay, and as the toes out of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. You'll never get them in agreement. And that's where they're at. And even this Brexit's the same thing. They vote for one thing. They tell you, we want, you know, there's a word was used here. I won't name the organization, but you know them well. Over here in government, they want respect. Hi. They have larked on and hammered on about respect. But then when people voted for someone, they showed no respect. None whatsoever. And they never took the vote the people give. They've done the opposite. And they wriggled like a worm not to have it the way it was voted. Then they didn't give it the way it was meant to be given. They were all conditions. Because you see, there's a power behind this EU. And it doesn't want to lose its grip, just like there's a power rule. And I tell you, I know people that's been converted, and the priest came to see them. I know one young man in Tremor, and the priest beat him a stick, and he took the stick off him, and he told him, "I've got saved, and I've got the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't need your popery no more." Amen. And he chased him out of the house. And he said, "What are you going to do now?" He said, "I've got the Lord." And he prayed, and his father could see him, and his brothers could see him, and near the whole house could see him, and they left Rome. Where did he go? Jesus Christ is where they went. Hallelujah. And he's coming for them again. Amen. I tell you, thank God for the gospel. Yes. Amen. You brothers know it. Have you ever heard a Roman Catholic's testimony? It's outstanding because of the darkness they were in. Amen. And the glorious light of Christ's gospel opened up for them. That's why I never stopped preaching it. Praise God. Verse 43, whereas thou sawest iron mixed with merry clay, and they shall mingle themselves with the seed of man, but they shall not cleave one with another. There he's telling it, they'll never be completely together. They'll make a pact and they'll not stick to it. Boy, that's the day, isn't it? And as iron is not mixed with clay. Now, we can go back further later on, Daniel, but let's go on with it. Daniel clearly describes the last portion of the king's dream. He speaks of a stone that destroys this statue. And I want to talk about that for a moment, and then we're going to close. Only got 5 minutes. Daniel 2, verse 45. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. The stone Daniel describes represents the kingdom of God, which will suddenly appear, overrule and destroy all earthly powers. No matter their strength, the Lord promised to strip the Gentiles of their dominion over Israel. And we are coming to the end of the Gentile age, and the power that the Gentiles had over Israel is coming to an end. And you say, when did this start? In the war. What is this, a 6-day war? You know, when Israel again took back the property in 1946, 47, and God reestablished them. I tell you something, we're the end time. Jesus talks about the abomination of desolation, spoke of the prophet Daniel, says, stand here in the holy place. So many scriptures. Now the Lord promised to strip the Gentiles of their dominion over Israel, which they had since Nebuchadnezzar conquered Zedekiah and destroyed Jerusalem in 586. But I tell you, God's gone back to Israel because he promised them. He said, if I forget you, can I forget my own right hand? That's what God said. Mm-hmm. We were the wild branch grafted in, isn't that right? Mm-hmm. We were not a people, but God was merciful to us. Now look with me in 2 Kings. Let me get you this for a moment. 2 Kings 25, verse 4 to 9. And the city was broken up, and all the men of the war fled by night by the way of the gate between two walls, which is by the king garden. Now the Chaldeans were against the city round about, and the king went away toward the plain. Verse 5. And the army of the Chaldees pursued after the king and overtook him in the plains of Jericho, and all his army were scattered from him. So they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon to Riblah, and they gave judgment upon him, and they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and bound him with fetters of brass, and carried him to Babylon. And in the fifth month, on the seventh day of the month, which is the month on the seventh day of the month, which is the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came Nebuzar Adon, captain of the guard, a servant of the king of Babylon on Jerusalem, and he burnt the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all the houses of Jerusalem, and every great man's house was burnt with fire. And they took over power. But this taking over is coming to an end, coming to a showdown. And it has weakened and weakened and weakened down through this image. It's weakened and weakened and weakened right down to the end time. Now listen to this. These are my own words now. Can you imagine what the king felt when Daniel stood before him and clearly described every detail of a tormenting nightmare? Nebuchadnezzar immediately recognized that this young Hebrew had an accurate interpretation of the vivid image that haunted him. The king also acknowledged that Daniel was the God of gods. His God was the God of gods, not Nebuchadnezzar's. But Daniel's God. And as a reward for service, Daniel and his three friends were promoted over the affairs of the province of Babylon. You could read it in Daniel chapter 2, verse 46 to 49. Let me read you verse 47. The king answered and said unto Daniel, of a truth, that your God is a God of gods and the Lord of all kings. So he acknowledges that Daniel's God is the true one God and the true king. And though King Nebuchadnezzar is a king on earth and all that, he's only an amateur. Jesus Christ, the real king. Amen. Praise God. Now let me read you this, the time of the Gentiles. Daniel clearly described the time of the Gentiles' empire in his writings. And as we can see in Scripture, Jesus also referred to this period in his teaching in Luke 21, verse 24. And they said, we've had a baptism on service. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down in the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So Jesus tells us himself, there is a time of the Gentiles to be fulfilled. So Jerusalem's trodden down, the Gentiles are ruling, but it's going to end. And God's going to turn back to Israel. But there's a church taken out. Let me read you this. And what was Jesus referring to? The times of the Gentiles is a period of history when the Gentile nations dominated the world, specifically Israel. Jesus declared that Jerusalem would be seized, its people dispersed, and then suffer subjugation under the rule of numerous Gentile nations. Their control would end with Jerusalem's re-emergence. This prophecy was fulfilled when Jerusalem was reunified with the covenant nation of Israel as an outcome of the Six-Day War in 1967. And I tell you, Israel is flying the flag again. How many knows that? And Israel's our time clock. We should know that. Israel is our time clock. We're getting ready to leave here. Once the time of Gentile ends, the Messianic kingdom will arise and encompass the whole earth. And of his kingdom will know no end. Now, I know there's a rapture and all the different things in between. But this is just in brief what I'm saying to you here tonight. The coming of the Lord's at hand. All these things, this Brexit and all that's happening for a reason. This is this toes and this clay right down. All the mingling together right to the end time. But Jesus is coming again. Let me read you this from the revelation of Jesus Christ. As we leave the type of Joseph, there's not one more thing I want to bring to your attention about this end time. I'm sorry, there's one more thing. We recall that Joseph stood before his brethren when Benjamin was not with him, and he spoke through an interpreter. Though he knew the Hebrew well, he spoke to his brother in another tongue. Listen to this carefully. Joseph spoke to his brothers in another tongue. Did you know that the first Gentile age, the head of gold, Babylon age, went out with a message in tongues written on the wall, went in the bowels and found one? How many knows it? Tell you first. That's it. And there's people who preach sermons and that. Isn't that right? I remember two wee missionary girls, faith mission girls, preaching from that text years and years ago. It's only a young fella. But I want you to notice that it went out with tongues. This age is going out the same way. Because the gifts have been restored again to the true church. Amen. And Brother Branham said it's a tongue-talking Holy Ghost church.
Amen.
You say, we don't believe in tongues. That's all right. You mustn't be part of it. But the real church believes it.
Amen.
Amen. The book of Acts believes it. And we have been brought back to the apostolic faith at the end time. And it shall be a tongue-talking church. I thought that was something. This age is going out the same way. The abundance of tongues in this day is further proof that the times of the Gentiles is over and God is turning back to Israel. Because God has brought about, read there in Susa Street, God has brought about a restoration of the gifts of the Spirit back into the church. Now, I know there's a lot of smart Alex says, but now they've done away with, we have went further. There's no scripture for such stuff as that.
Amen.
God never does away with it. Prophet said he adds to, he never takes away. But this is a sign. It's a sign that we're at the end time. Now let me read you this scripture and I'm closing. One scripture is 25 past. One scripture and then my 40 minutes is up. Romans 11. For if thou, and verse 24. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is a wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into the good olive tree, how much more shall these which be the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree again? That's you and me. We were that wild tree grafted in. But there's a real genuine tree, which is Israel. Now Paul lays it out here, verse 26. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest it happen to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So that Jesus talks about the fullness of the Gentiles. Paul talks about it. This is important. It's important to get this. Verse 26. And so all Israel shall be saved. It is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away the ungodliness from Jacob, which is Israel. How many knows Jacob's name was Israel? Verse 27. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Verse 28. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. So they didn't see it. They were blinded for a reason so that we could come in. How did we come in? Let me drop this as well. You say 2,000 years has passed here from this image and nothing's happened. Wrong. I will call that the 2,000 years of the gospel period. And it's the 2,000 years from the crucifixion of Jesus to now is the gospel dispensation. It's a dispensation of grace. And we've come in under that dispensation of grace. And we can see it under that dispensation of grace. We which were not a people are now the people of God. And we which were not righteous We're now righteous in him. And we can take Romans 4, the imputation of righteousness. That God doesn't impute to us our sin, but his righteousness when we believe him. Isn't that wonderful? But the prophets never mention it. The Jewish prophets never mention it. For they don't recognize Jesus during that time as the Messiah. They don't. How many knows that? They're blinded. Amen. But we know it. But God is going to lift the veil off them. Are you hearing me tonight? The veil is going to come of Israel. And they're going to see again. Just like Samson cried, they'll cry. And just like Samson said once more, they'll say once more. And God's going to see them in a day. Isn't that tremendous? You think of the years it took for the Gentiles to come in and Israel turned to God in one day and God will save them. Praise God. Verse 29, for the gifts and calling God are without repentance. We refer to this to gifts, and that's all right, but it's actually talking about Israel. Now, scripture's a compound meaning, so it's not wrong. It's not wrong to refer to gifts. It is gifts as well. But how many knows there's a compound meaning here? Do you see what I'm saying? Absolutely, the Bible. Verse 30, for as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Because they turned them down, we got them. I thank God for that. Even so, these also now believe, and through your mercy they may also obtain mercy. Verse 32, for God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways are past finding out. Oh, thank God tonight. We are at the end time. Now, I know I could have covered more things in it, but I didn't want to, try and confuse you or bring too much. And I hope nobody's confused yet. Have you got someone out of it tonight? Jesus is coming again. And if you get nothing, I want you to get this. Our time's almost up. You say it's not it is, brothers and sisters. It's almost up. Our time's almost done. We need to redeem the time. Jesus could come today. Jesus could come today. And I tell you, when the bride of Jesus Christ took home, God is going to deal again with Israel. He's going to deal with them. And he's going to strike all these images, everything in the world. God's going to deal with it all. Let's stand our feet tonight. Let's pray. And I've soaked the whole place, brother. Let's close our eyes tonight. Praise God. Anyone here and you'd want prayer, just lift your hand to the Lord. Praise God. The Lord bless you. God bless you, son. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. No matter how old you are, what age you are, you pray to the Lord tonight. Jesus is coming again. I tell you, I don't see nothing else to happen for us. There is for the Jews. But our time's almost up. I believe it is up. And the Lord's coming. And the Bible says the bride made herself ready. And we know he's given the Holy Spirit that we can be ready. Heavenly Father, I thank you this evening for your precious words of truth. Lord, I pray that you'll take up different words that's been spoken and just straighten it out. Just give the people the main bits that you want them to hear, Lord. And want them to know in Jesus' precious name. Father, I ask especially for the hands that's raised in this room tonight. Lord, I believe you've dealt with hearts even in this room. Father, I pray above all you'll give them the Holy Spirit, that they'll have the oil and they'll be sealed in to the day of redemption. Father, meet the needs for the hands raised. Whatever the prayer request is for that young woman, for that young boy, in the name of Jesus Christ. For Lord, we know you're coming again. Father, we're so glad for these signs tonight. We're so glad for this interpretation of King Nebuchadnezzar's dream that you give to your servant Daniel. We're so glad even in these last days we've heard a voice that was sent from God. Father, this evening, help us to have our eyes anointed with the eye salve and our ears open that we may hear the shepherd's voice. Bless your children tonight. Give them strength and grace. Bless all the children as we go to their own places. May you bless us to pray for Brother Jeff again and young Nathan Poots tonight. Lord, that a soul will be reached by the power of the gospel in Jesus' precious name. Help these young men as they go forward. And for young Brother Stephen and for any others with a desire to preach the gospel, Lord, may you help them to win souls for you, for the hour is late. Grant it now, we pray, as we seek your blessing. Bless your goings out, Lord, as we go, and our coming ins of thy will story. Help each and every one and meet every need for thy people. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. And Lord, we ask again from a Father, you'll touch them and strengthen them. And any others that need your touch, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each one as a brother comes.